Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Jody E. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic. Today is Wednesday, September 13th. Today we are reading from the big book and we are at page 153, paragraph 4. Today's readers are Shelley E., Kara L., and Penny L. C. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, September 12th, are, for the 7 a.m. meeting, 20,619, and for the 10 a.m. meeting, 20,620. The reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,633. The following is the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, unquote. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Jody E. Thank you so much for your service and everybody on the line. And this is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much for allowing me to do service. I pass.
Thank you very much, Joanne L. And I will now ask Cindy H. to read the 12 traditions.
Hi, I'm Cindy H. from Michigan. I'm so glad to be recovered, but not cured. the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 153, paragraph 4. I will ask Shelley E. to begin reading.
Absolutely. Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater, presently in Petoskey, Michigan. The Big Book, page 153. Years ago, in 1935, one of our number made a journey to a certain Western city. From a business standpoint, his trip came off badly. Had he been successful in his enterprise, he would have been set on his feet financially, which at the time seemed vitally important. But his venture wound up in a lawsuit and bogged down completely. The proceeding was shot through with much hard feeling and controversy. Thank you for letting me share on this paragraph. So when I read this, what we know about this is that he is soon to meet Dr. Bob, and so it's going to be life-changing for him. And I think it's interesting, it says from a business standpoint, his trip came off badly. And so only in particular in that aspect, his trip was not a success. But as a lifelong success, it couldn't have been more fortunate. I know in my life, some of the worst things that have happened to me, and I have a child who survived cancer. I have a grandchild who's just had heart surgery, who's also hemophiliac. I have received the greatest blessings from things that I didn't know were on the horizon from those, what I saw at the time as being almost tragic. Definitely not easy to go through, but I definitely, my life lessons that came from that, I wouldn't trade for those. To tell you the honest truth, I would not trade for those. I would also say that we don't know, and I think this is an example as to, we pray for God's will. We don't pray for the outcome, because the outcome might be, you know, pretty crappy, but down the road, I think the blessing comes. We just can't see it at the time, but God knows. God has us. God knows what's in store for us, and if we just walk through the fire, he will be side by side with us and take us on to where we're supposed to be. Doesn't mean everything's going to be, you know, fantastic and roses and, oh my gosh, but, you know, God does have a plan, and I, for myself, if I just trust and allow him to direct me, then I know that I'm where I'm supposed to be. And with that, I pass. I look forward to the rest of your shares.
Thank you so very much, Shelley E. And I didn't get your state. So now we will open it up for other speakers to share on what was read. And again, we're on page 153, the bottom paragraph. Before I ask for a list of people who would like to share, I'd like to say that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share today on what was read?
Janet G.
Janet who?
G from Nevada.
Janet G from Nevada. Okay, and the other?
Susan G from Los Angeles.
Susan G from California. Anyone else?
Elaine B.
Elaine B from Massachusetts. Okay, let's begin with those three. Janet G, Susan G, and Elaine B. Please go ahead, Janet.
I'm Janet G from Las Vegas, Nevada, and I am, I'm not a newcomer to the program, but I'm a newcomer to abstinence. I'm really struggling with it because I can't trust in God enough. And we all know half measures avail us nothing. And I'm going through a very stressful financial and health crisis right now. And I just need to trust in my God that he wants what's best for me and he will take care of me, and that I don't need any fear in my life. I need faith, and I need to take care of the business that I can, that is possible for me to do to help myself, but not to to stay out of the self-pity and the it kind of, when you're under so much stress, all you think about is the situation, and that's wasted energy. I need to trust in my God that he will take care of me, and pray that I can do his will today and try and understand what he wants me to do and keep an open mind that way, and to use my mind that way instead of being self-centered and whatever, and just trust in my God that he will take me where he wants me to be and to do my part. So that's my share. Thank you for listening to me. And I just pray to stay out of the food because it is so tempting to be to find that comfort, and it's not there. That's the disease. I need my recovery. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. That was Janet G. from Nevada. Susan G. from California, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. These paragraphs make me well up always because these are the paragraphs that changed my life and everybody who's in a 12-step program, because this was the moment that it was going to be conscious contact with God or conscious separation. And we've been reading all the way through, you know, but now especially in this chapter about these new friends and how we're commencing shoulder to shoulder and really don't leave before the miracle. And there's that pink cloud moment, right? I lost my weight. I was 250 pounds. I'd done it up and down, up and down, up and down. Finally, I was here, but there was that jiggy feeling, would I keep it? And I was told to be afraid not to sponsor. And that can be like, wait, why? And that selfishness and that self-centeredness, once I'm helping somebody else, just disappears. And it's as vital and life-giving to me as it is to those who I put my hand in their hands and pass it on to. So, you know, pink cloud can last a while. I can't speak to people who are bulimic or anorexic, but when you've been morbidly obese for a long time and nothing has worked, that you can stay stopped. And suddenly the days turn into the months and you're not thinking about it anymore. That is God doing for me always. So I just wanted to say, you know, how these paragraphs, obviously this whole book and all of you have really, really changed my life. But this is just that moment of, you know, standing at that turning point and in a couple of paragraphs, you know, is going to hear that bar. And either God could, if he was sought, or the bar could, and thank goodness for all of us that Bill chose God. So with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Susan G. from California. Elaine B. from Massachusetts, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jody E. Boy, oh boy, you know, we get to this place where we're, you know, abstinent, and we've got our program, and we're doing everything, and we're getting on with life. We're out of the gutter. And, yeah, let's go do it. Let's take on life. And yet we tend to, I have tended, I know through my program, and it led to a terrible relapse of trying to get what I wanted out of life. You know, I'm going to pursue this. I'm going to do this. And then that becomes my focus. Instead of, God, what do you want me to do? You know, so I get all invested in this outside circumstance that's going to be the solution, you know. Oh, I'll be all set financially, you know. It's vitally important that this needs to be my focus, this enterprise, this is it, you know. And yet sometimes there are things that happen that are absolutely not what we would want, absolutely not what we would expect. Absolutely not, you know. The proceeding was shot through with much hard feelings and controversy. And, of course, what do we do when we have hard feelings? What do we do when we have controversy? I'm sure as we go on, we're going to see that this chapter, A Vision for You, that this meeting, A Vision for You, is offering a solution, even in these places where we think we've arrived because we're abstinent, and we think we've arrived in these places. And yes, we have arrived. It's a whole new frontier that we get to walk out abstinently. But the key, I think, all of it always is our relationship with God. You know, he was afraid. He's making these terms. It's, you know, it was shot through with hard feeling and controversy. How many 11 steps did he have to do? How many 10 steps did he have to do? Did he do a mini 4-step on it? I've had to do that in several situations when it just got so big and it was impacting so many different areas of my life. and I got to get back in the saddle, knowing I'm not running the show. This is God's show, and I'm like along for the ride. You know, I can lean this way and lean that way. I can try to make my horse go where it doesn't want to go, or whatever. I need to follow God, and this is where that beautiful page 100 promise comes in. That if we follow the dictates of a higher power, we'll presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what our circumstances. I don't know what he gained from this, but I think we'll find out. And so if you're going through a hard time, take hold of the program, take hold of the steps, take hold of loving higher power, because God will get you through. You can make it through. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine B. from Massachusetts. And thank you for sharing directly linked to what was read. Who else would like to share today?
Kara L.
Kara L.
Linda.
Linda.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Penny L. C.
Penny L. C.
Barbara A.
Barbara A. Okay, we'll go with that lineup. I have Kara L., Linda, Jordan L., Penny L. C., and Barbara A. Please mute everyone except for Kara L.
Kara Good morning. Thanks, Jody. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. When I read this paragraph about Bill, you know, he's in Akron, and this business came off badly. And then, you know, and I see the hope, like you had been set on his feet financially, which, you know, seemed at the time vitally important. I think about all the things, and what this reminds me of is, how many times have I set my standard for me being okay myself? Like, what are my indicators I tell myself that if this happens, I'm okay, right? And then I live in that world, and then I judge everybody from that standard. I judge myself, those around me. I make decisions from that. I'll be okay if A, B, and C, right? It seems vitally important in the moment. And then how many times have I worked this program? Because I know today that my indicators of what I find okay aren't always the best choices for me. I have a hard time with that. And so I need a power greater than myself to help me there. And I can't tell you how many times I have struggled with something and thought it was so important. I've written it up. And then I've talked to somebody or I've talked to my sponsor. And all of a sudden, when I let it go and I say, you know, higher power, what is your will here? Please give me an intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. And I let it go. And then the simplest solution will come. The ease, the grace, it will come. And things that I could not have thought of on my own. And I'm always surprised. And today I'm looking at things more like, on it. It's probably my will. When that beautiful, like, surprise comes into my life that I didn't see this path and it's incredible, that's God's will. And so today, you know, like, a lot of my inventories are finding, where am I setting this standard or this, I decide that something is vitally important, and where can I just say, oh, I'm sorry, God, I really don't know what's best here, and your will and my will be one. And that's my goal today, is to work these steps so that I can do that more and more, and to say, how can I serve God? Show me, when I walk into this moment, where can I be of service? And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kara L. from California. Linda, please give us the initial of your last name and where you're from.
Sure. Hi, my name is Linda, P as in Paul. And I'm from Los Angeles currently. I loved reading this today, I just went through not really a similar experience, but it reminded me of what had just happened. But just speak exactly to this paragraph and what happened after. You know, it's such a life-changing decision that impacted everything and all of us, you know, and it makes me think how important sometimes in life these decisions are, and that kind of driven by desperation, you know. Luckily, he, you know, chose the path he did, but it's at that moment, you know, where we just feel like it's the worst of the worst, and why? And sometimes there, you know, I think, you know, God, or higher power rather, has the big picture, you know, for our program, for recovery, for us. And I'll just share quickly that when I was, I took a trip out of state, and on the plane going over there, I started having symptoms, and I got COVID really, really bad, and I was in a hotel, isolated for, you know, a good 10 days. And, you know, I feel like in the beginning, I just did not pass the test. You know, I was really kind of, you know, protesting, you know, why? And, you know, we just don't know why. And that why isn't even a very good question, really. And there were a lot of insights I had away, and it was very humbling. And I went there to do a particular thing, could not do anything. And I am back, and I am so grateful. I'm so grateful to be back home and just to know that, you know, God has a better plan. And with this reading, you know, it's really the start of our program, and such a miracle. So that is what I have to share. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Linda P. from California. Jordan L., please go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Jody, for moderating for us this morning. And thanks to everyone who's shared already. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. My head kind of goes to what some other folks have mentioned, and that's kind of where Bill's head was at this moment in time, and what an important moment this was when Bill recognized the insanity of that first drink. and he chose a different action. He realized that he didn't have the choice in drink anymore, but that he did have a choice, and that it was to take a different action. And it is a really important thing, because this is the action that led to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know? And couple decades later to Overeaters Anonymous, and a couple decades later to my own story, you know, and being able to recover from this seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. and how he felt in that moment, and remembering that each one of us has our own moments of this, you know, when the physical world, especially the financial world or the romantic world, seems vitally important, seems like it's gonna be the end all be all, when actually we can't see clearly, you know. We can't see past what it is that seems so vitally important. And it's not even to say that it's not vitally important. Maybe it is. Maybe it is God's will, right? But we can't see past it. Like, we can't see, you know? And I've had a lot of circumstances of my own abstinence of the same thing where I just can't see. And I got to trust, you know? And it's like literally like being in a dark tunnel. I can't see, so all I can do is feel my way through it, you know, and trust my body, which is, you know, that's real tough for us compulsive overeaters to trust and listen to our bodies, you know. And so I'll wrap up with this. One thing I've learned for sure in recovery, the circumstances, my circumstances are not always a good indication. Living this way of life, it helps me see beyond those circumstances to things that I maybe don't understand yet. And to trust that, to be able to like feel my way through that dark tunnel. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. Penny LC, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jody. Thank you for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And this is Dear Bill W., you know, finding himself fighting for financial success. It was so crucial to him, and yet his history had been fraught through with the highs and the lows. Much of it had been, you know, just this pattern for him. And so here is that setup for a relapse. You know, if I'm operating in self-will and self-propulsion, I'm going to be in trouble. There's just no way around it. And when I meet with a challenge, a difficulty, you know, I will fall back into that. I can fall back into that self-centeredness that gets back into self-pity and a fear and back into rationalization. Oh my, if only it had gone well, I'd be fine. Yeah, but don't you know how important that was to me? That was going to be the end all be all. You know, I can build this all up in my head, and pretty soon I have talk myself completely out of any reliance on a higher power, and I'm totally fraught with self-centered fear. It's what it comes down to, you know. But what I have to remember is that I'm at a crossroads. So often, a blessing has been disguised as a heartache or a stress or catastrophe. And how important is it? You know, is that the end all be all? Or and when I'm at this fork in the road, can I also choose to lean in to my higher power, to trust and rely, to be willing to turn it over and have faith that it can work out, that there will be a way through it no matter what? That at that moment in time, then I have hope. I have something to, you know, really just do that sigh, do that release. Just know that I'm not alone, and that together with my higher power and with the support of those around me in this fellowship, I can be okay. I will be okay.
Sense of reminder.
Rest. Thank you, Jody. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny LC. And next up, we have Barbara A. from California. And after Barbara, I'll be asking for more names. We are on page 153, the last paragraph 4. Please go ahead, Barbara.
Hey, Jody. So good to hear you this morning. This is Barbara Central California, reaching out because I need to share, I need to connect. This is my first time reading with the meeting, A Vision for You. And after reading, working with others, working with a sponsee, getting her through step 12 and getting into this now, Vision for You, there are no coincidences that this is how it was laid out and this is how it's happening today, that I have this opportunity to grow and evolve in this program simply by reading this book and following its instructions. And I have had the choice, just like Bill did. Or do I want to find another answer? And by the grace of God, I am a compulsive overeater, and I have been able, by the grace of God, by working these steps, by coming to meetings, found a different way. There's no coincidences. I am clear that God has me right where He wants me. If I can, you know, can connect with Him on that spiritual plane of a relationship with Him, that all my wants will be taken care of. I think I read that later in A Vision. So just wanted to share that working with sponsees, as I see Bill did this. He went and he got on the phone and says, who can I go talk to? And that miracle of finding Dr. Bob and getting, you know, sharing his program and Dr. Bob being able to get on his feet, make amends and all the amends he had to make. I mean, patience. And then finding out his patients knew already that he was drinking. I share that with sponsees all the time. And I have gotten the best gifts from sponsees as they're struggling to, you know, get their way through this program. And the blessing that I've had, which I think of all the time with Bill, is I may not be able to get someone to the point where they're sober. All I can do is offer my experience, my strength, my hope, and it keeps me sober. I'm just grateful to share today. I'm grateful that every morning I decide to pick up that spiritual toolkit, to use meetings, to use reach out to others, telephone, to use my ability to sponsor.
Gentle reminder.
And with that, thank you. Thank you for letting me share. And thanks for your service, Jody. And I pass.
Thank you very much for yours, Barbara A. from California. All right. I would like to take some more names to share on this paragraph, 153, the last paragraph, starting with years ago in 1935. Who else would like to know us?
Laura W.
Diana
Jen
A. I heard
Mary G.
Jen H.
And Mary Jen H.
Diana C.
Diana C. I have Laura, Mary G., Jen H., and Deanna C.
Cheryl S.
And Cheryl. Let's stop there. I hope I have time for you, Cheryl. Please go ahead, Laura. Give us your initial and your state, please.
Thanks, Jody. Hopefully you can hear me. This is Laura W. from South Jersey. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. This is a great story. And, you know, I know we only read the first paragraph starting it, but it says that, you know, he would have been set up on his feet financially, which at the time seemed vitally important. So Bill is newly sober here. He's only been sober a couple of months. And so, you know, Bill has always been obsessed and with money and prestige and power and, you know, quote unquote, arriving. I think he still has that feeling of wanting to arrive and financially be set for life. But the beauty of this is that he's got enough recovery under his belt to know that he needs to do the next right thing. And that's what this reminds me of. You know, life happens to all of us, and life gets lifey, and things get really hard. And my abstinence and my recovery has a life of its own. It is separate from my daughter who has this illness. It's separate from my husband. It's separate from my job. It's separate from my mother who is ill. You know, my recovery has a life of its own. And I need to do the next right thing regardless of how I feel about it and regardless of what's going on in outside circumstances. And I'm reminded of that every day. And I only can do that on a daily basis with my higher power each morning and throughout the day and throughout the evening. Like if I were left to just say, oh yeah, God, I believe in you, we have a good day, things are going to go off the rails. You know, I need to connect through this meeting. I need to remind myself not only who I am, but whose I am. And I belong to God. He created me. He created my daughter. He created everybody. So, you know, that is my feeling and my belief. But, you know, what Bill is saying here is, you know, he's doing the right thing. And we'll know later on, we'll see in the next few paragraphs that even though he's bitterly discouraged, he moves on through the next step. So just for today, I'm going to just put one foot in front of the other. And God's given me many years of recovery due to that one foot in front of the other. And I know that for today, because I'm going to connect with God and I'm going to keep my food clean, I'm going to have an abstinent and peaceful day. Thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you so much. Laura W. from New Jersey. Mary G., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Mary G. from Arizona, and thank you very much for your service, Jody. You know, what struck me in this paragraph was that, you know, the proceeding had not gone well and that it was filled with hard feelings and controversy. And it just reminded me of a time in my life, not similar circumstances per se, but where I was totally caught off guard with a health situation. And I remember just saying to, you know, my higher power, okay, well, if I can't do this, what the heck am I going to be able to do? And I heard an answer, but you know what? I didn't like the answer. I didn't like that answer. I just thought, oh my gosh, I can't do that all day long. And the answer was pray. And so, you know, my best thinking got me into another addiction, which was, you know, I escaped was basically what it was. I escaped my reality. I went into playing computer games on my phone, on my computer. And, you know, I never dreamed that such a little thing as playing a game on a computer would be an addiction. But when I realized that it was interfering with my relationship with my husband because, you know, he would be talking to me and I'd think, what the heck is wrong with him? Why doesn't he stop talking to me? Can't he see I'm playing a game? You know, and it's with a computer. You know, it's not even a person. And all of a sudden I saw a light and I realized, yeah, I didn't go into the food. Thank you, God. But, you know, I am an addict. I have an addict mind. I have got to watch my mind. I will slip into escapism in a heartbeat. And, you know, sometimes my illness does not allow me to have the energy that I have. And so I do things that I like to do. But on days where I have energy, boy, I better be careful because if I want to just waste that time away, I'm in trouble. And I have to be on the lookout for why I used food. And that was to escape. It was to numb my feelings. I have to feel today. And today I choose to live in reality, no matter what those circumstances are. So thank you very much. The program has definitely given me a way to live life that is infinitely better. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Mary G. from Arizona. Jen H., please share with us.
Hi, Jen. This is Jen H. in Virginia. Sorry about that. Okay, so reading this and hearing the shares today, I was reminded of a passage that was I heard in a workshop that I listened to yesterday. And I wanted to read that because it's out of the big book on page 450. And I don't think I
have studied it before. So 450 at the bottom, it says, then I realized that I had to separate my sobriety from everything else that was going on in my life. No matter what happened or didn't happen, I couldn't drink. In fact, none of these things that I was going through had anything to do with my sobriety. The tides of life flow endlessly for better or worse, both good and bad. And I cannot allow my sobriety to become dependent on these ups and downs of living. Sobriety must have a life of its own. And I'm just reminded, a dear friend of mine said to me this week, she said, you know, Jen, we are apples, not oranges. We're never going to be oranges. I'm a compulsive overeater, a real compulsive overeater, and I am never going to change that. And that has to be protected no matter what's going on. And that's not my normal method of operation. My normal method of operation is to start fixing things myself and ignoring this key part of my life, my sobriety, my abstinence. And I'm just really grateful today for the reminder that for better or worse, you know, good or bad, this has to be number one. So thank you for letting me share. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, sorry.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jen H. from Virginia. Deanna C., please go ahead. About 2 minutes.
Good. Okay, good morning. This is Deanna C. calling from California. This is my first time sharing on the line, and I have been listening for over a year. Thank you for your service. Thank you for being here. I'm really struck by these words, fraught through with much hard feeling and controversy, because recently I've been in a service position. And there have been some difficult conversations that have been happening, and I'm one of the key leaders. And I know that God brought me to this. I know I was supposed to do it. But then a little while ago, after some very tough conversations, I had this thought, if I just eat this fill-in-the-blank thing, I won't have to do this anymore because I will have lost my abstinence, and you have to be abstinent to be in this service position. And at that moment, I knew that my fit spiritual condition was in jeopardy. And I went back and read How It Works, and I thought, you know, the next right thing is to turn my sights towards newcomers and really focus on maintaining my connection with my higher power. It doesn't matter what other people think of me. It matters, am I doing what my higher power's will is? Am I aligned with my higher power's will? And as a result of that, I actually resigned from that position. So nothing can jeopardize my abstinence, and I need to remain in fit spiritual condition. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Deanna C. from California. We're so glad you shared for the first time. And Cheryl S., I'm sorry, but we're out of time. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book from page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Kara L., please read for us.
Sure. Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.